Blog Talk Radio.
Foundation is built on a rock. Inside here, unbreakable, unbending, unyielding, immeasurable, immovable, invincible.
Hey, this is Coach from Survivor 18, 20, and 23. You're listening to Dragon Slayer Radio here on the Rad Reality Show. Join us every Thursday as we dissect Survivor One World episode by episode. You can call us at Blog Talk Radio at 347-237-5506 and let's play this thing together.
Hello, everyone. It's the Rad Reality Show, and we're going to get started in a second. What a night. What a night. I am so excited about this show. A great Survivor show. Coach Wade's going to be joining us tonight.
It's Thursday, so you know what day it is. It's Survivor. But let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is.
It all comes down to this.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dragon Slayer Radio. We'd like to thank you all for joining us tonight on this 3rd of May, 2012. My name is Cherry Garcia, and I'll be your co-host tonight, along with Paul from Minnesota. I'm really excited about tonight's show. How about you, Paul? Or should I just say meow? It's going to be a cat night, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't sure initially what you meant by that, but it hit me real quick. I'm doing good, Cherry. How are you?
I'm great. And we have the star and host of our show, the amazing Coach Wade. How are you doing, Coach?
I'm fantastic. Welcome again, Cherry. Paul, how are you guys doing this week?
Wonderful. Looking forward to tonight's show.
Well, I hope it's going to be another good one. We seem to be knocking it out of the park so far, and I expect no different for tonight.
Absolutely. I believe we already have your guest.
Is Jillian Larson already on the line?
I believe. Jillian, thank you for calling.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
Where you
Hold
got?
On.
Up, Cherry?
I'm sorry, Coach.
Okay.
That is not Jay.
We have a duplicate area code, so I apologize. I'll get to be able to screen here in a moment. So you guys talk, and I'll find out who that is, okay?
So, Jerry, give us your thoughts on last night's episode. I just want to step right into it tonight. What do you think about
last night's episode? I think it was one of the best episodes of the season, one of the greatest blindsides of Survivor history. Absolutely, one of the best blind sides ever.
I thought for sure Sabrina was going home. You know, if you look back over the episode, you know, some people are manic enough to watch it twice in a row. I know that when Randy Bailey, the infamous King of Gabon, and I were roommates about a year and a half ago, we would watch all the Survivors, and he would watch it again the next morning to kind of see how the edit was going and different things like that, try to catch mistakes if producers made a mistake. But, you know, if you watch that episode again from last night, you'll see that, you'll see how they set the episode up, how, you know, callous Kat was for, you know, getting, not having sympathy on Tarzan. Of course, they played that up, no sympathy on Tarzan and Christina. They played up the, the fact that she's saying there, you know, oh, I love blindsides. They're exciting and fun. And really just to go back and watch that and see how they set her up, well, how she set her own self up for such a fall was really delicious if you were to go back and watch it. And so I really thought, you know, I got to say this. I was talking about, before the show started, I thought, you know what? I talked to my good friend Philip Shepard, the specialist, and he said, you know, this is just my gut. Philip and I are two peas in a pod where we don't want to hear any spoilers. Any information that I give you on this show is not based on spoilers because I refuse to look at the websites. I refuse to listen to rumor. And Philip said, hey, you know what? Kat is getting the same edit that Fabio got in his run, you know, kind of the goofy, funny, tripping over stuff. And so he said, I think Kat might win it. So I went into last night's episode thinking, you know what? Maybe Kat is going to win it. And so I was thinking, with that in my mind, when they went into Tribal Council, it made it even more spectacular for me to watch that and to see her to go down in flames, so to speak. It was pretty epic.
She did go down in flames, I have to say. I mean, she was just in her glory going on that, treat with her two girls. She just held in such high esteem. When she got to go, be with them by themselves, with their family members, that was just, a dream of hers. She finally was going to be in the clique. And
right.
That was just, like, the one thing she wanted to do more than ever. And
here's one thing that I've noticed this season, Sherry, and that is, I know that we haven't had rewards for a couple of seasons, right? We haven't had, because we've had Redemption Island, and if all the, the fans will know, that they took away the reward challenges and combined the reward challenges with the immunity challenges, because with Redemption, that took the place of reward challenges. So we haven't had pure reward challenges for two seasons now. And maybe the viewer, maybe the contestants have kind of forgotten what reward challenges are all about. And I'm not just talking about Kat. I'm talking about everybody that's won a reward challenge so far this year has been clueless to the fact that you divide up the numbers who are back at camp. You put one of your strong alliances back at camp and tell them, hey, watch what's going on back at camp so that nobody's going against the coup. Because obviously there's four people left at camp, there's three people on the reward challenge. It only takes four. That's a big reason why they do the reward challenges. And so people have kind of checked out of that part of the game. You don't have reward challenges to take your buddies and have a great time. You take a rewards challenge, you take one of the enemies, you take an enemy with you so that you can keep an eye on them and so that they can feel the love and that they're actually part of the alliance. You take one of your staunchest supporters and you leave them back at the ranch so that they don't let anybody else come against you. And then you go out there and you divide and conquer. And everybody seems to have forgotten that. You know, last year I kept thinking if they did do a pure rewards challenge and my two main alliances were Albert and Sophie, I would have taken Sophie to go with me because Albert was my right-hand man. I would have left Albert back at camp, and I would have picked somebody like Ozzy, Rick, Brandon, anybody like that to try to keep the peace.
Right. I agree. That's what you have to do. That's using your brain, that strategy. She had none of that. She was simply thinking, with that her own pleasure in mind, and she's just so naive in the game. We do have Jillian on the line now. I'm going to bring her up.
Jillian,
thank you so much.
Hey, Coach. I
guess it's Coach. Hi, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you very much for joining us. Let me just give the listener a little bit of a prep. The first time I met Jillian, I had just gotten through watching her season, and she'd come up and she says, you know, Coach, loved your game. I think we were at the Renaissance Hotel when you came up to me and introduced yourself. And there was this warm, inviting, passionate about the game, the Survivor, very, very well-spoken and eloquent Jillian, and she was just talking to me about different things. And one of the cool things about Survivor is that you watch people play, there's an immediate camaraderie and fraternity and sorority that kind of evolves from that. And, you know, Jillian, I've got to say my hat's off to you for the charity that you've created, Reality Rally. I definitely want you to talk about that. But just what a great person, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate coming on, and it's going to be great to chat. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're just going to start right off the bat from last night's episode. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about with each of the guests is, you know, not only your journey in Survivor, but also, you know, what you think about this season, and to just give us your thoughts. So give us, you know, a 3 or 4 minute rundown of last night's Survivor episode.
Yeah, I think the main thing was that Kat is in it for fun, and she just doesn't have the, I guess it's the maturity, that's what everybody keeps saying, is that she's young, but she's very young. I mean, she's sweet and she's naive and she's very young. It's interesting because right at the beginning we all saw, you know, the beginning of the season, and we all kind of know how editing works. And when they start showing that the women are useless and they're going to be terrible, you kind of know that that's not going to happen. They're going to be pulling through closer to the end. And, Kim and Chelsea and Sabrina have definitely got it marked. And, you know, you were kind of watching Tarzan be taken along. He's fun to have along. It's the same as what I thought Dan was in his season. He didn't look like much was happening with him. It's sort of like what I, sadly enough, I kept thinking, gosh, he's just a weaker old man. But after I met him, I realized he wasn't a weak old man. He was far from it. They could have blindsided Kim and Chelsea a few episodes ago, and I just don't know why they didn't flip. They should have flipped, and it could have been the biggest blindside and totally changed the game.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very surprised that they didn't do that when they had the opportunity. I feel like this season, Jillian, that people are not really playing the game. I mean, you've got Kim playing the game. It seems like everybody else is just kind of sleeping out there. Do they give you that same impression?
It is. And, you know, I think that everybody was so focused on getting Troy Zan out that they lost that opportunity to blindside. And, of course, it might have led Troy Zan to be, you know, close to the winner, if not the winner. But it could have been such an upset three episodes ago. And it would have totally changed the game, which it didn't. It kind of carried on the way it was going.
I agree.
And you know, ever since being on it myself, I just think, gosh, editing. I no longer sit on the couch and yell at the people because I know there's so much more that goes to it. It's like, and I'll never, ever call anybody annoying. It's like, you know, maybe they're not.
That's a great point. I spoken like a true survivor that's been through it and really, knows that what you see in reality TV is not necessarily real TV.
Right. And, you know, I tell everybody, if I speak all over the place, actually, I've been everywhere, and they always ask, you know, is it real? And I say, yes, what you're seeing is what happens. They do not, and I don't know about your seasons, but in ours and many others, they don't ask you to say something. They may lead you into a question and an answer, but they don't say repeat that. They don't give you words to say, etc. But what they do is they make their story, obviously you know this, but they make their story out of what they've heard. And that's where the story comes. And that's how it isn't as real as it seems, because they're making it suit what happens down the road.
So true. And so exactly. Like, for example, and it was the same on my season. You know, the producers will never ever compromise the integrity of the game and pull for somebody they're so neutral. I mean, for example, I know that the producers love me because I'm so crazy and I can give them, you know, we talked about this last week, I can give them intelligent, I can give them crazy,
right.
I can give them heroic,
right.
I can give them philosophical. So they really like me, and but they've never shown any partiality. You know, I know they love Cochran, never any partiality. But what they will do, for example, as Jillian says, let's say that they want Jillian to, you know, look like, you know, she's not that intelligent, even though obviously she is. And so they will say to somebody else, well, what do you think about Jillian? She said this, and do you think it was intelligent? And it'll get you thinking, well, maybe that one thing that she said wasn't intelligent. There's 99 other things that she said that were brilliant. And so they'll try to tell the story, you know, in that way.
Right. And, you know, talking about the integrity of the game, I have to tell everybody that they do maintain that integrity. And we had an interesting thing happen on our first tribal council. That the one challenge, the second challenge, not our leading challenge, it was the one where they had to climb over, the, run through the water and the mud and climb over this A-frame and then run and dig out puzzles and run around the corner. Well, good God, our tribe was left in the dust again. And Randy and Susie and I were waiting at the puzzle table. And Jeff called us all kinds of names, and he was actually right. But that nobody was listening. They didn't listen to instructions properly. They were too busy kind of deciding what they were going to do without listening. So that night at Tribal, Dan accused Jeff of giving the other tribe the correct instructions. But the instructions were, go dig, you know, you've got to run here, you've got to climb there, you've got to run there, and then you've got to dig in the sandbox and work from the beginning, dig deep, and work your way out. Well, our tribe just heard dig deep. Well, good God, they almost landed up in Australia because they were so busy digging deep. And Dan accused Jeff that night of saying, you didn't tell us. You just told us to dig deep, and that's why we were so bad. The next challenge, Jeff actually brought the lawyer and said, this is the woman who listens to everything that is going on. And if I deviate in one word, I get this word in my ear saying, Jeff, you left out the word duck or whatever it was. So I found that very interesting, that there's actually a legal department that listens to everything and brings it back on. So that was great. He said, all right, this is the woman who keeps me straight. So it does. I mean, they do keep it straight.
I always like getting the hidden insights of each season. So speaking about which, you know, if I imagine that the listener is familiar, but Jillian is from season Gabon, which is the same season that Randy Bailey was on that I was referencing earlier. And so, Jillian, you know, when I started watching your season, it was obviously the season that came on right before. It was Survivor 17, so it was right before my season. And so as I started watching your season, I just thought, what an epic character. As you started out, and I just thought, oh, she knows what she's talking about. Listen to her. She's obviously been out in the bush. You know, this is going to be an amazing run. And I really felt like, you know, that your time, obviously you feel this way too, but that your time was really cut short. Kind of lead us through what happened when you got voted out.
You know, I think there's several parts to that. One is that I absolutely believe there's always some greater plan out there that many of us don't know, but it unfolds. I tried for 8 years to get on the show. I applied 15 times. I had 2 interviews. I had an extensive interview. I went to casting calls, and I made it eventually to Africa, which I think, first of all, I had to try that long because it built my motivational talk that I give out there about persistence, belief in yourself, and everything. So that was part of that. But I tried for 8 years, and I played for 6 days. And because I then had the 5-week vacation, whatever, you know, the boot camp time, whatever, nothing to do, you know, you're there and you can't do anything much. So I then created Reality Rally during that time. So I talk about how that there had to have been a plan, that I just had to not be in there, that I had to have this 5 weeks to create something that is now benefiting far more people than me playing the game would have ever benefited me. So that's the first part of it. The second part is that I knew that Crystal was an Olympic gold medal runner before I went into the game. I had found her on a spoiler site and looked up her picture, and I knew it was the woman I'd seen during my casting period in Santa Monica. So I believe that that also was part of this destined plan. And I know it sounds hokey, but that's how I believe it. So I knew that I don't run as well as I do some other things. I mean, I can do other things. I can hold my breath for 4 minutes. I can swim like a fish. I can balance forever on one leg. I mean, I'm fairly intelligent. I'm great with puzzles. So all of that's right. Pretty much useless in running. I mean, I do okay, but not that great. I mean, good grief, I was 61 years old. Anyway, I picked Crystal because she's an Olympic gold medal runner. And I, at the last minute, I thought it's either Marcus, a really cute big guy, because you always want the cute guy on your, you know, your tribe, or the woman who runs. And our first challenge is going to be a running challenge. And he described it. And I thought, I have got to have a runner to be my counterpart. I bet you she can't swim. She's 6'3", and I bet you she can't swim. So if there's going to be swimming, I'll do the swimming. I bet you can't balance. She's too tall. So I'll do all the things I'm good at, and I'll have a counterpart. So I picked her. I beat her in that first running challenge. And I do think, and that's part of it, not other than it's just a destined thing in my mind, and she really pushed for me to be out. She kept saying, we better get rid of her. She's too happy. And a lot of other things. I mean, she's a geniusness. We don't wander around. I mean, she kept barking about me. And I think it was because I was the one, I had beaten her. And, I mean, how embarrassing could that be, a 61-year-old woman beating an Olympic gold medal runner in a running thing?
Right.
And then also, well, I was the one that was doing stuff in camp. I mean, I built furniture out of elephant bones. Obviously, you know, I was collecting elephant dung because it's you know, keeps bugs away by burning it. I was chopping the wood. I was making the fires. I was, you know, quietly. I wasn't an annoying, loud woman the whole time. I just went about doing my thing, and I think that she possibly just thought, gosh, is she going to keep beating me and embarrassing me? So that's maybe part of it. But I think it's the destined part. That's the one I see.
And
women can
you,
be so catty sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. So when you talked about the elephant dung, and you were talking about it, and you got some weird looks, I was just like, wow, there's so many amateurs out here this time. And I kind of thought that when you said that and they gave that look, I was like, I don't think they're going to truly appreciate this woman.
Not at all, actually. I thought, oh, good God, I just got this look from them. So I didn't talk about it again. I mean, it was basically one time production kept following me because they were obviously building the story about the elephant dung. And so I went around, and actually what I was also doing was I was looking for hidden idols while I was looking for elephant dung. So I didn't want to say I'm out there looking for idols, I mean, or even looking like I could be. I was looking everywhere for elephant dung and idols. And it was like Randy and I actually really had a kinship on the show. Both of us kept looking at the rest of our tribe thinking, dear God, like the first night we got fire, Crystal wanted to throw like 7 handfuls of rice in the water. You know, and nobody had got any fire stuff ready. I had gathered everything, you know, correctly so that if we were given a flint, that we'd be able to make fire. And, you know, Kenny was bashing the flint on the machete all over the ground. And, I said, why don't you use this little bowl of kindling I sort of got ready for you? That might be able to catch fire a little easier than just bashing it on the ground sort of thing. And, you know, the handfuls of rice that went in, and Randy and I looking and saying, oh, my God, you know, shall we ration it? They said, no, we'll just throw in handfuls of it. You know, if we don't eat, we can just throw away. And we're thinking, oh, my God, you don't throw away food. The only food you've got. But we had no food. There was no seafood. There were no fruit. There was nothing. So, boy, we weren't about to toss away the rice, and then we did have too much. And they said, I'll just throw it away. I said, no, we'll keep it for breakfast. Oh, I'm not eating cold rice for breakfast. Randy and I kept rolling our eyes. How they didn't get more pictures of Randy and I rolling our eyes? Well, they did. They rolled it, Randy's eyes, but made it look like it was things I was saying to him. Randy and I actually, and Dan, clicked, but poor old Dan was so worried he was going to die of malaria and dehydration all the time that he was just, you know, he was a bit of a mess.
Right.
But you know what? I'm sure you feel the same way, Coach, that I absolutely, truly feel it was a privilege to have been chosen to play when there are so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people that would absolutely love to. So I consider it a privilege. And it's somewhat of a responsibility for, and that's why I do what I can. the responsibility to give back to the fan world, because I was a fan, I am a fan, and to do something more with that, and boy, has it opened doors for me. It's just so amazing. I mean, like, I talk to people like Snapfish. I was looking for some sponsorship from them. And Jillian, the little old lady from Temecula, asking them if they'd sponsor some stuff for me for Reality Rally, would have said, yeah, right. I said, I always start off as, you know, I'm Jillian. I was a contestant on the Game of Survivor. Oh, my God, I know exactly who you are. I watched you. And, boy, it's just, as I know, I'm sure it does for you, it just opens doors that we should utilize. Because that's what it's all about. And you're
absolutely
doing the same thing with what you do. I mean, that's what you do.
It's so true. I want to talk about that, too, because, you know, people sometimes, you know, they use it for their own benefit, and that's great, and other people use it for other people's benefit, trying to touch people out there. You have created from scratch what you alluded to a while ago, the Reality Rally, which is a reality TV event that has really, I mean, I got to tell you, Jillian, when you first started it, I thought, yeah, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be small. I didn't know how much it was going to take off. I don't really attend the events. I've attended one event in 4 years, so I don't really attend the events, although I almost came down there this last time. But anyway, we can always talk about that later. But, you know, it has become, correct me if I'm wrong, it's become one of the biggest, if not the biggest, reality charity event out there. It's amazing. It's huge. Talk about it, please.
Well, thank you, Coach. I appreciate that compliment from you. It is absolutely amazing. And as I explained a few minutes ago that I created it, I was training for a 60-mile walk when I got back from Gabon. So I spent 5 hours a day walking in the jungle just thinking. And nothing else in my head. There was nothing else to do. And I just, all these thoughts came to me. What can I do now? And how can I enhance my community? What can I do with this? And the ideas just came flooding into my head. And I'd sit down. I found this lovely little place on the beach and wrote notes and brought them home. And I'd blown out my shoulder body surfing while I was there, so I required two surgeries to get it wired and screwed back together. So I couldn't do anything for a year, and I also wanted to connect with the reality world so that they wouldn't know me just as the useless old lady that was booted second sort of thing. Anyway, and then I am just in absolute awe at how people have come to make this event, and yes, thank you, it is just an amazing community-based event that everybody has embraced. We have over 600 people, actually, that make it happen. It's an event that highlights our town. It highlights the schools. It highlights the theater and the museum and the gunfighters and the history associations. 12 challenge checkpoints are produced that make this amazing race kind of game throughout Old Town, which is only one part of the weekend, it's Saturday. But all of those people put on the most amazing event. You go to the theater as contestants and you have to go to costuming and put on clothes, costumes, and go and perform on the stage in front of some internationally known judges. I mean, it's not just ordinary volunteers sitting there. And then you have to make a movie and get in costume, and those are directors and producers in the movie industry. And then there was a karate challenge, and we had a zip line from an outdoor experience company, and love it. And the sponsorship people, I go out and tell them who I am and what I do and how would you like to be part of it and how can we highlight you while we get this not only regional or national, but some global visibility. We were actually being watched in 96 countries. Our webcasts were just before the event. And I'm in awe. You know, I bow down to everybody who embraces this and makes it happen. We had 24 imagery team members that carry video cameras and cameras around all weekend. They work all weekend. And then produce, if you go on our website, we've got a lot of the video vignettes on there already. And they produced them within 3 or 4 days of the event so that everybody could see what it was all about. we had five bands playing in different places. I've got a back injury from all the bowing I've been doing for the last few weeks, because it was amazing again. And anybody who wants to be part of it. And the reality stars that came out, we actually had a fundraiser this year, because I don't want it just to be one huge, fun, awesome party for the weekend. It is a charity event, and we need to make sure, with all the sponsorship that we get in kind, because everything you see, touch, hear, read, look at, feel, eat, drink, everything is pretty much sponsored, but there are some expenses as well. And I don't want the charity to make a dollar, because we had a really good weekend. So the Reality Stars actually raised $400 or more to be part of it, and they all just chipped in and raised that money, and we were given certain some sponsorship bids. In fact, Coach, somebody had approached me and said, hey, we want Coach here. We'll sponsor him. And then there were a few others. People said, oh, we'd love to see so-and-so here, and we'll sponsor them. So sponsors came on board to bring some of them here. But otherwise, everybody chipped in, and we ended up with, I think, 98 people this year, and they represented altogether 30 different shows. Which is another feature of what I do, because it's not just Survivor and Amazing Race and Big Brother. It's interesting other shows that have a following, and people watch them, and they also want to be part of a charity event. So that's why it's open to anybody who wants to be part of it, and it is. And, you know, Mike Nunes does a great one down in Celebration for Give Kids the World, and his is another amazing charity and an amazing event as well, just very different, because mine is a complete community that gets involved. Our wineries and our, you know, organizations and the Children's Museum and everybody. But, yeah, it's just awesome. Just awesome. I definitely want to see you here next year, Coach. It's the 12th, 13th, and 14th of April. I'd love to have you here.
I know. And, you know, I had a camera crew that was going to come down and follow me and everything, and I really wanted to do it. It was actually, I got to tell you, I was trying to juggle between a couple of things and a symphony concert coming up, because I always have my symphony concerts. They're always around that time in May.
I remember. So, in April,
and if so, if it were like in May or something, it would have been easier for me to go. But anyway, so I was just trying to decide between the symphony rehearsals and trying to move it maybe a day. And we also had a soccer match, a tournament that weekend. And so I was thinking, should I come down on Friday and then leave on Saturday? And I thought, no, that's not going to be cool, because I'm going to miss out on all the fun. And so it's just the time just was really bad this year.
If I may, we have a caller that's been waiting for a while that I think you may want to talk to. If I might go ahead and bring him up.
Well, okay. let's bring him up. But I also would like, before we kind of get into this season a little bit more with Jillian, while we bring up the call, Cherry and Paul, I know that you probably have a question for Jillian, and so please be thinking about that, and let's see who the caller is.
Catherine, thank you so much for waiting for a while. I really appreciate you calling in. Join us.
I'll wait as long as I need to. I'll wait until the end of time to be able to talk to the Dragon Slayer and Jillian, who I got to briefly meet at the finale last December, so I'm thrilled to be on the line.
Well, you know what? I'm going to just say this. This is completely bogus, because if I had known that Catherine Hercules, one of my children, was waiting on the line, I would have cut my chit-chat sooner. No, I'm just kidding. Catherine, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm a new man. I just finished exams yesterday, so I've kind of been in this hermetic, you know, monk-like state for the past month or so, and now I'm finally breaking out, and, you know, my first form of celebration is calling into Dragon Slayer Radio.
Oh, right.
I almost texted you to just say, hey, man, like, where are you at? Are you almost done with exams? Because I knew that you were almost, you know, at that point, and so congratulations. Did you kick butt or what?
I don't know. It's all relative. I mean, I set very low expectations for myself this semester, because I've been a pretty bad student, just focusing. But you know, I'm somewhat of a charlatan when it comes to these tests. I do better than I deserve to, just because I try to borrow from Coach, and I know he has a way with words. even if he's not saying anything, he just speaks in these riddles and these enigmas and everything, and it makes everything sound better. So I try to borrow some of that and apply it to my law school exams, and I think, you know, maybe it'll pay dividends.
I found in life that if you sound intelligent, it's better than being intelligent, and I've really skated by with quite a bit of luck. Actually, my dad once said, we were talking, me and my brother and my dad, and you know, I have like the least amount of education in the family, even though I have a master's degree. And I asked my dad, I said, so, you know, Dad, I'm not really smart like you. Does that mean that my children are going to like get that math gene that you have and get that little bit of intelligence? And my dad said, yeah, hopefully. And, you know, I said, Peter got it. That's my brother. My dad was like, yeah, he got it. And then I was like, well, what did I get? And my dad was like, well, you certainly got a little bit of charm, and that's been, he said something like, you got some charm, and that's been letting you coast by for about 25 years. And so there you have it.
Yeah, it's actually not what you know or anything. It's what people think about you that is often the big thing. That's what takes people far, so.
So true.
It's all about presentation. I mean, and I found that in exams, it's true in politics, really. I mean, I talk about politics. I don't even really care about politics. One thing that I've always found interesting is that the political process really rewards people that are good at campaigning, as opposed to those, you know, I'm sure there's some brilliant person out there hidden in some shadow that has the greatest ideas for whatever, the country, but he doesn't probably have the skills necessary to run a successful campaign. So that sort of person is never going to be a successful politician. I don't know why I got on that topic, but it's something I've always bounced around in my head. It's a weird incentive to be a good public speaker instead of being like an actual ideas person. So I guess that's why you have advisors.
So, Cochran, do you have any questions for Jillian? You weren't at the reality rally, were you?
No, I mean, I know my beloved Edna, our beloved Edna was there. I really wanted to go, but it was just, I've been in this stressed out exam period. So I would have loved to have been there. It sounds like a complete blast. I'm looking at the list of people that were there, and I was listening in while you were talking. The list of shows represented, like, really runs a huge, huge gamut. It really isn't just Survivor, An Amazing Race, like The Usual Suspects. There is even something like The Swan. It's wild. It's like really just a history of reality TV. And literally, like, history. It's somebody like Richard Hatch there. It sounds like it was an awesome event. And everything I've heard has been so positive about it.
Yeah, I'd love to have you here next year. Keep the dates in mind, and I'll be sending information out starting September, actually. I'd love to have you here. And if you haven't seen, go on the website. It's realityrally.com and look at some of the video highlights. It'll give you a good sense as to, you know, what it was like. And it was really pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Wait, Jillian, did you say that Richard Hatch was there? I mean, Hercules, did you say that Richard Hatch was there?
Yeah, he was here. And he actually, I just love Richard. I think he's great. And he does a lot of work for charity as well, and he has nothing but great things to say about the charity and also about the town. We actually started
also about
out
Coates, right? He has nothing but great things to say about Coates, too, I think you meant to say.
Yeah, he did. You know, I was so busy flitting around like a hummingbird doing all kinds of stuff that I didn't have much time to actually talk to many people at all, but one of the most impactful things of the whole weekend, other than the really fun parties and this amazing game and everything, was we started out by taking everybody to Michelle's Place, which is our charity. And I'll tell you what, that was such a good thing because everybody then could really see why I do, what drives me, and what attracts everybody to what we do, and that's all I can, it's like I'm a catalyst, and that's all it is. But Michelle was a young woman who died at 26 of breast cancer because she was misdiagnosed, and meeting her parents and seeing the facility that now provides services to people with breast cancer, and then I do it also in the honor of Jen Lyon, who we all know died of breast cancer as well, and Jen's family came to this event, and her dad came last year as well. And looking at those two families, the Watsons and the Lyons, and knowing that we produce, and I'm saying we, it's not just the Reality Star group, it's the community, that we produce something so powerful in their daughter's name. I mean, to me, that is what it's all about. And that we are raising money so that somebody else doesn't have to watch a video show of their child that has died of breast cancer or any cancer, because we were able to help them get early detection and treatment, and they are not a statistic. So that's what drives me, and that's, I think, what attracts everybody. So the reality stars went to Michelle's place, and it was very powerful.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's get back to last night's episode. Cochran, we just need to have your, since you're here, why don't you weigh in with your thoughts on that?
Well, are there any certain topics we've already covered? I don't want to be duplicative.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we've covered. The brilliance of Cochran needs to shine through. I will just say this because I don't want you to say it first. Okay? As you're watching, I want everybody to replay back to last night when you're watching, and it was like this. Okay, Kat went home. Everybody's shocked. I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, wow, she's crying, you know, and then, you know, of course, at the very end, she's begging Jeff to give her another chance. I thought that was awesome. Probably one of the best last lines ever on Survivor, and I'm including Cochran, you, and myself on that one, and Jillian. But before that, I'm watching it, scenes for next week, Tarzan's on, and I was like, you know, watching it, and then I was like, holy, what the, look, and wait, rewind it. So we rewound it, played it again, and son of a gun, if Tarzan hasn't shaved his beard, did anybody else catch that?
Yeah. No. I didn't see that.
He shaved it in the preview?
Yes,
check it out.
Coach, I love that you catch those kind of details because that's normally my place. And I did notice that because they had close-ups of him throughout the show and that tribal. And I saw the ads and I go, how does he shave on the island?
Yes. Yeah, he shaved everything.
At Ponderosa.
Long mustache. He left his mustache, and he shaved his beard, and I had to do a double take. So if it's still on your DVR,
Jerry, he's
a listener, whatever's out there, go back and watch it. And so what that means is that son of a gun must have been picked on the award show. I bet they have sympathy next week. I'm not trying to spoil it, but they must have sympathy on him. They must have like some massage or shower or something like that, or even an overnighter. And son of a gun, I bet they had sympathy on him, and they took him, and he shaved. Anyway, I just spoiled that.
Yes.
Cochran, please tell me about last night's episode. What are your thoughts?
I mean, so it was, you know, I enjoy watching Kat from a character perspective because she's this kind of lovable goofball. Although last week, last night, she kind of started veering into the territory of slightly annoying and not necessarily completely likable. And again, this is all based on their TV persona. I'm sure these are, like, you know, perfectly lovable people outside the game. You know, kind of, there is a sense of satisfaction that the one person who seems to delight so much in the fact that somebody could be blindsided is, in fact, the victim of a blindside. You know, there's something a little bit poetic about that, I guess. And it was exciting just from a viewer standpoint in that it seemed like a foregone conclusion that, you know, Tarzan would be off next. And he wasn't even in consideration. I mean, you would think, like, okay, the women are going to stay strong together, pick up all the men, and they'll start cannibalizing. So the fact that this kind of shook things up a little bit, I thought it was actually the best episode in a while. The one thing that I'm wondering, though, is that, you know, with the elimination of Troyzan and with even the elimination of Kat, it's unclear to me, and I like viewing the show from not only in like a, you know, a game perspective, but from like an editing and presentation perspective, it's unclear to me who the viewer at home is supposed to be rooting for. And it's something that I always come back to. I mean, if you watch our season, there are certain people that you can tell the editing of the show is skewed in such a way to make you, or to make the viewer root for them. I mean, it could be Ozzy, for instance. He has these majestic shots of him standing on top of a coconut tree with a helicopter soaring around him. We're not seeing that sort of thing this season. I mean, the closest we have is, I don't know, Kim? But Kim isn't actually being Kim's being portrayed as a mastermind, but she's not being portrayed necessarily as somebody that, like, we love her. She seems like, she seems very smart, savvy, in control of everything, but it's a slightly emotionless sort of gameplay. And, you know, the viewers at home like to latch onto some sort of emotion so they can relate to it. And I think Troyzan was the last person who, you know, for all the, you know, you can pick out a million flaws in his game, but there was kind of the sense that he was an underdog and he was so passionate about the game. It was a really emotionally, you know, valent storyline. So who do you think it's supposed to be? I don't want to say the fan favorite because that carries certain connotations, but who do you think is supposed to be, you know, America's favorite right now?
That's a good question. And by the way, I just want to say, I mean, hey, Dragon Slayer Radio, success. I mean, what a softball question, right? I mean, what a great host. Coach the host is like this. Cochran, what do you think about this episode? Let me just lobby that slow pitch softball and watch you hit it out of the park. I got the easiest job in the world when I've got the intelligence of people like Jillian and Cochran coming on the show. I just throw them up and you guys can hit them out of the park.
That's why you're a good coach.
Yeah, sure. So, fan favorite, I mean, the connotation, America's favorite, whatever you want to say. I'm going to pass it to you guys while I have to think about this first again.
I don't know. I think Sabrina started with all her sympathy thoughts last night. I think she started to, you know, that to me was like, let's edit her. And maybe she's been a lot more like that all along. I mean, trying to give away her reward and would have given away her reward. I mean, that was starting to tug on everybody's heartstrings last night a little bit. And maybe just Tarzan. Everybody wants Tarzan.
I think Tarzan had a shot, of course. You don't really know what they're going to do the next couple of episodes, right? I mean, you know, like at this point in last year, people thought it was going to be between Cochran and Coach and maybe a little bit of Ozzy, but then Ozzy came on. When he got voted off, he was the biggest asshole in the game, and everybody said it, and everybody that was on his tribe said it, and everybody wanted to get rid of him. And, you know, it's like with this, you know, so you just don't know what happens at the home stretch. You know, maybe Chelsea...
Right.
She's not ticked anybody off. She's played a pretty, dare I say, honorable game. She's played a pretty good game. She might come out. Tarzan might. Everybody, you know, I mean, he wins a reward next week. Maybe he starts opening up and, you know, with his wife coming out, it softens him up. At this point, though, you're right. I mean, who's the villain and who's the hero? There are none, and that's why this season, I think, is down in ratings, besides the fact that it followed on the heels of Cochran's season. But it's kind of like, you know, really this is a lackluster season because there's not anybody that you're really cheering for and there's not really anybody that you're cheering against. We cheered against Colton, but, you know, he asked to get himself matterbacked out of the game early, and so that kind of ruined America's hate. If he were still in the game, imagine what kind of controversy he would be generating. I wish he were still in the game for that simple fact.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I can tell when Jeff saw the guy with a bellyache, all I could think of was Jeff's face was saying, "Dear God, there goes the season." We're losing the... Well, I shouldn't use bad language. We're losing the... whatever he was turning into. I could just see Jeff's face thinking, shit.
Yeah.
There it goes.
Yep. Anybody else have a fan favorite for this season?
All right, well, what you're asking, Hercules, what you're asking is for the whole season or for who's left?
Yeah, no, like who's going to win fan favorite if CBS has a fan favorite, which they always do.
Yeah, okay, you could go either way. I mean, I think fan favorite, I mean, of the remaining people, I think generally the show wants the viewers to be satisfied with the winner. They don't you know, portray the winner in such a way that the viewers at home are like, ah, man, they won. But I kind of get the sense that now everybody's a little bit ambivalent about everybody remaining. You know, people would think
all right.
That
I would say at this point, my answer at this point in time is I would pick Tarzan. If the show goes on and all of a sudden Kim becomes an underdog, like everybody starts to turn on her and she ends up going to the end.
Yeah.
That could bring some underdog or sympathy votes. I hate saying that because I think she's probably one of the best left in there strategy-wise. So,
right.
I certainly know who won't win it, and that'll be Colton.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope not. You know, Colton was, in my mind, he was very interesting, and he was, I mean, how clever is that to put a guy in that's not going to fit in either tribe? I mean, that was so clever. But then, in my mind, he crossed the line when he started being so, so derogatory. It's one thing to be manipulative and, I mean, sort of evil or very clever or all of those things that we've seen in many people. But in my mind, he crossed the line and with the night with Bill particularly. He just crossed the line, and that's what happened to him.
He really did.
It was beyond.
He was just really trying to cross the line. I mean, forcefully, and I think he intended to cross the line. I don't think it was something he did sort of, oops, you know. I think he was intending to cross the line.
I know what you're saying. I think that he, obviously he meant to say that. You know, nobody's putting words in his mouth. But I do feel that he was being encouraged to do it. I mean, I'm telling you, that first season that I went out there, I was like, coach, type A personality, and then all of a sudden, it's like I'm an eccentric guy, so obviously he had a little bit of, I mean, come on, let's face it. I grew up in the South. He grew up in the South, small town, not used to a lot of different ethnicities around him, so he's probably a little bit racist, okay? Let's just face it. I mean, I know the South. People are racist in the South. It's no big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's not a big revelation that people are racist in the South. So he's a little bit racist, but he gets out there. I'm eccentric. The producers are, like, encouraging you. Push the boundaries of the eccentricities. You don't do that in your normal life, but they're like, hey, push it. All of a sudden, they're like, wow, I'm a star. Wow, what I'm saying is gold. Hey, what I'm saying is funny. And he crossed the line. Did you mean to cross the line? Absolutely. But if he knew what it was going to come across on television, I can guarantee you that he would have never said any of that stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I do
have something else. Oops, sorry.
Go ahead.
I do have something else I want to bring up before we run out of time. People's
we're out of time.
Feelings
have a
for response.
Night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. No, just kidding.
what? Coach, stop it.
I got to have fun with this, man. I mean, geez, we're bringing on all these guests, and I know you guys are just great listeners, but, you know, okay, sorry. You have the floor, man. We're not going anywhere.
What were your reactions when you saw Alicia saying that she was in control of the whole game?
Hold on. Okay, we're going to ask everybody in turn. When I saw Alicia saying that she was in control of the game, it reminds me of when I was in the final eight in Token Machines, and I was like, I'm the most brilliant guy in the world, which I wasn't. I was the stupidest guy in that series. I was like, hey, I'm totally in control of this game. That's what I thought. I thought it was the most preposterous statement made this season. Cochran, what did you think when she said that?
I mean, well, the exit interviews that I've been reading with certain contestants have made it pretty clear that she does have control over Tarzan's vote. I kind of question whether she has any control beyond Tarzan. It's pretty obvious that Kim's in control. I mean, if it's redundant to even say that. And the thing is that people must realize Kim is in control, because if you look back at last week's reward challenge where they had to say, who do you trust the most, who would you take a bullet for, Kim got, that should have been a red flag to everybody. Why is everybody, praising Kim in a reward challenge when somebody gets turned down for a reward challenge and subsequently the next week invites Kim? I mean, it's like the fact that Kat invited Kim on the reward after having been, like, so upset about not being invited by Kim the previous week. Kim's in control, right? I mean, this is a very long-winded response asking whether Alicia's statement is absurd. Of course it's absurd. She's not controlling anything. maybe
she can control her hair.
That's a Sisyphean task, not a Herculean task. Sisyphean. Pretty much anytime anyone says that, it's not a good thing. Like, the person who is in control of things almost invariably is never going to say, I'm in control of things.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julia, what did you think of when you said that?
Well, all I could think about was, you know how you watch yourself play out, and you have no idea how you're going to be shown anyway. So all I'm thinking about is she's sitting on the couch thinking to herself, having watched the season play out, as seen by the world, and she's thinking, what did I say that for? Or, God.
Jillian and Coach and Cochran, that is how you guys watch it differently than us that haven't played it.
Ah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I have a quick question.
Good.
Am I correct in thinking that now that they're down to five, that Kim's immunity idol may not be valid anymore?
Four.
We can use it she can use it at this upcoming tribal council because there's 6 people remaining. And then after that, can she use it at the, you can use it to get into the final four?
Into the final four?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so there's one more that she can use it at.
I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't use it, to be honest, unless she's in grave danger this upcoming time. She seems like the sort of person who, Coach is a perfect example, who, you know, there's no need to use it, and especially the fact that nobody really knows she has it apart from Chelsea. You know, there's no benefit in whipping it out and shocking everybody at the last second.
Right, right. I wore mine around my neck, if you remember, at this point in time.
Yeah, I mean, you could have put that around my neck. It would have been a real lifesaver.
Listen, do not go back, and I feel, anyway, we're not going to go
back. I'm kidding.
No, I'm still pissed off at myself. I deal with my decisions on a daily basis.
Talk about
why didn't Kim get her way last night? It's the first time this season that she really didn't get her way.
You know how she could have gotten her way? She could have thrown the challenge and let Kat win it, the immunity challenge. I mean, completely within her reach. Because if Kat had been to be in, they would have been like, oh, okay, I guess Sabrina then. Maybe they would have picked another target. Maybe they would have gone with Tarzan or something.
I don't think so. I think everybody's taking Tarzan along. I think that they're happy to sit next to him at the end because, in general, people are going to think he was a nice guy, and I don't know that he's really pissed anybody off. But he's and again, editing, he may not have been skating along. So I just think he's a good person to have along at the end, and that's why they're keeping him along. He seems like a nice guy.
Coach, I think that Kim is picking her battles, and either of those two choices, she was pushing for Sabrina and others were for Kat, and it's like neither of those choices were going to put her in good light with these people that she was in an alliance with, and I think she's just picking her battles. I thought it was smart.
I think that's a great point. She conceded this round to try to win the war. I think that's a good, astute observation.
And that is a huge point, is she is somebody that has a vision of the future. Kat is somebody that lives in the moment, and it was so evident in last night's episode how she is just living in the moment.
True. Are there any predictions for what's going to happen next? Anybody? I think Tarzan is going to the end. I agree with Jillian.
So.
Did you say it? Yeah, that's what you said, right? I agree with that.
Yeah, I think he's going to be sitting on the stump at the end. And shaved. I think his wife slipped him a razor last episode. In that big hug, I think there was a razor tucked in somewhere.
I think Kim's going to be there. I don't think they would be, like, making her this mastermind if she didn't get to the end. I think the big question is going to be whether she brings their appropriate people to the end that she can actually beat. You know, I think worst case for her would be bringing, like, Sabrina, who has now kind of emerged as an actual threat. I mean, she was getting sympathy with Christina and Tarzan by explaining how selfish Kat was for not bringing them on the reward trip. So maybe she's curried their favor. And there was, like, a line she had in the confessional last week that jumped out at me because it was very out of place. They just showed Sabrina saying something like, people remember how you speak to them. And it was like, maybe that's foreshadowing something, and that she gets to the end and people vote for her because she was kinder and a little bit less cutthroat and emotionless than Kim. I think if Kim's smart, she'll take, I guess, Alicia, who seems a little bit abrasive, and... Yeah, Tarzan. Can you imagine that? I mean, that would be like the easiest march to victory ever.
Yep. Yeah, shoo-in if she takes those two. Absolutely.
I think it was a key that they brought it up several times with Sabrina. They all feel that she is very smart and can talk her way out of things, and they fear her being in the final three. And so I think that could be Sabrina could go next week, I'm thinking.
Yeah, or she could be like a fourth placer who just gets cut at the right before the finals because she's really perceived as an immediate threat.
Yep.
All right, you guys. I think only Coach got to see his family. Is that really as huge? I know this is a softball question, but is that really huge for you people on Survivor for family? What is your brother Pete? came, right, Coach?
My brother Pete came. I hope he's not listening right now. it's emotional, yeah. You know, the funny thing is that the first time I played it, and my assistant coach came down, Rocky B, and, you know, I really felt like at that time, because I was, like, so starved, and I just wanted somebody that, and it is true, you want somebody that you can trust, okay? But when you've done it three times, it's kind of like, hey, this is an adventure. So I take pride on my brother's shoulder because I didn't want everybody to, like, you know, think I was totally insensitive a-hole. And it was like, yeah, Peter's down here. This is an adventure of a lifetime. I'm glad we're sharing it kind of thing. And my brother helped coach me. But I was not in the emotional, fragile state that other people were in the first time that you play it. Now, if I went on again and Cochran was my loved one because we shared that experience of the game, I would just, like, go nutty and just fall down on my knees and just, you know, that he was there. But, you know, I think when you play it a couple of times, you want somebody that's going to be there that's going to, like, help you strategize. You know, my assistant coach, that first time, he was like, oh, yeah, man. And I told him, I was like, hey, everybody called me the Dragon Slayer. I was completely clueless at that time, thinking I was in control.
Well,
and I was like, everybody's calling me the Dragon Slayer. He was like, oh, man, that's awesome, dude. And it's like, he was my assistant coach, and he was, like, meant to say, you're doing a great job. And it was just like, he should have said, hey, are you serious? Like, hold on, be cool, man. I flew down with these people. You know, my brother, he was like, I flew down with Hans. He's a nut job. You know, Edna's sister was really nice, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so my brother really helped with the strategy of the game, and that's really kind of what you need at that point if you're a returning player. Sorry.
And I saw that with Kim's sister. She seemed to be a good sounding board for Kim. I heard you touch on this before earlier today, Cochran, but tell your story how close you were from family members.
Yeah, I mean, probably the thing I got most upset about after being kicked off. I missed it literally, so I was voted off the night before the family members came in, and I was actually on Redemption Island. When I lost the duel, I walked away, and I got to hear all the other loved ones filter in and kind of the applause and sobbing and everything. So, you know, my mom had been flown out there. She got to meet Pete Wade and everything. And that was what was devastating to me, that I missed that because, I mean, I've mentioned it before, but you do set these specific goals for yourself within the game. I mean, obviously, the first goal is I don't want to be voted off first. Then it's I want to make it to the merge. Then there's a lot of talk about the family visit. I mean, an inordinate amount of time is spent speculating about what each other's loved ones are going to be like, and, oh, am I going to cry? Am I going to leap into their arms? And so to come so, so close to that and then just to miss it. And it's more like I felt bad for my mom that she flew out. She's not a big traveler. She flew out all this way and just to miss me by one day, or really by like a matter of minutes, was pretty upsetting. And the other upsetting thing was that, you know, at that point I was very, very emaciated. I was like 120 pounds. And then I got to Ponderosa and I bloated back up. I put on like 30 pounds in like 6 days. So I think then I returned back home. And I think, you know, obviously my parents wanted me to be healthy, but there was kind of a sense where I was like, I want to return back home and look like I've been through hell. Like I just survived, you know, World War III or something. But I get back and I'm all bloated. And, you know, I'm bloated and still completely pale, like I haven't seen the sun. So that was disappointing to me. I wish I had left
you
it
had no,
fasted.
You had no badge of honor.
I know, exactly. I mean, maybe like, you know, I had a few more freckles on my shoulders or something. But like, you know, that was all I could point to as evidence that I'd actually been on Survivor. But no, you do, you know, you're surrounded by people in the game that you don't completely trust. You know, you don't really trust at all. Frequently, you don't even really like them that much. It's a very stressful experience, and you're just eager to cling on to anything that's stable and trustworthy and, you know, unconditional. You know, there's nothing in the game that's unconditional, but the love of a loved one is unconditional. And so that's, I think, why people get emotional. Because, you know, if you watch it at home, you think, oh, great, 40 days? I don't really last 40 days without seeing my mom. You know, people last years without seeing their parents. But there's something about the game that just makes it seem that much more precious.
Absolutely. And I think the whole thing about the whole deprivation thing, your chemistry and everything is out of whack as well. Not that I can talk for the, you know, sadly I wasn't there for that loved one visit. But, you can see that. And even going out of the gate early, it was, for me, it was like, gosh, I'm among normal people again. It's like, that's the thing, is those people come and they're normal people. They're not trying to play something. They're just normal. They're just there. You know, they're there for you. And I think that's the emotional part of it.
This is a question for those that leave early. Do you go into the game with a list of loved ones, or are you totally surprised who would show up? Did you have a list, Jillian, of who was going to come?
No, you're asked, you know, who would you want to see on, you know, who would you share an experience with? So you have to give a list of, I think it's in order of 1 to 3 sort of thing. And then, you know, but that again causes some discussion amongst your family, because obviously not many people know you've gone except your immediate family. I mean, I sort of disappear on adventures a lot, so it wasn't unusual for me to be gone. And I told people I'd gone to Doctors Without Borders, and they absolutely believed it. But I had to give the list, so my husband was like, oh my gosh, you know, how is he going to ask for the time off? How is his boss? He can't tell his boss, but he's going to have to. And then my daughter said, well, gosh, if you can't go, then I'll go, but I better get my passport renewed. So there was all this discussion going around. And then the third daughter, you know, okay, well, I can arrange babysitting. So there's all that discussion among the three people that you, I don't know about you guys, but we were asked to list three people who could be your last visitor. And then, of course, Randy didn't bring anybody. So that was part of his persona. His list probably said nobody. Which was this whole thing. But, yeah, you give a list of the people that you would like to see there.
Yeah, I mean, I listed, I don't know if it was 2 or 3. I know I listed my mom and dad. And then they have to sign the leases and everything, saying they agree to go to the experience.
Right. Right.
Huh? What happened there?
I don't know.
I'm still here. I heard it sounded like some sort of struggle was going on in the background.
It's not a struggle. Yeah. It's my son that's sitting here saying it's time to eat, Dad, and get off the Dragon Slayer radio because you've been on for an hour and 5 minutes.
Ah, that's what it is.
Coach, we're not going to pay you overtime.
No, I know. Hey, Cochran, finish your thought. Listen, Jillian, thank you so much for being on. Please stay on the line so you can wrap up with Jerry and Paul. Cochran, I love you, man. You know you're like a brother. Text me. I sent you some juicy text the last hour. Love you guys.
Really?
I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Take care.
Right. And thank you, Paul and Sherry. I really appreciate being back on and fun chatting to you over the air, Cochran. Hope to meet you up.
Great,
meet up
great
with you sometime again. Yeah, I want you at Reality Rally next year. People want to see
I'll be
you
there. I'll be done with school by then, so I'll be a completely free man. I graduate this December, so next May.
Okay,
where
is the finale this year? Is it in New York or this season?
It's in New York. It's in New York. The one that's coming up now is in New York. I'm going to be there on the East Coast, and I usually try and go down to New York if I'm back there. I'm going to Boston. But I have 2 grandchildren I'm going to be taking care of, so I can't take them down with me. Yeah, it's in New York, and I think it's on May 6th or something.
13th?
Whenever the...
Yeah. Are you going, 13th. John?
Yeah, 13th.
Am I going to the finale?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm kind of debating it. I mean, I'm on the East Coast, which is good, but I'm going home tomorrow back to D.C. because I haven't been home in a long time. So it depends on whether I kind of muster the energy to schlep back up to New York. But I would like to. I mean, I heard that going to the first finale after your own season is always a thrill, so it's kind of like you get to look at it from a different perspective while it's still a little bit fresh in your mind. So I'd like to go. I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, we'd love to know if you go, and certainly keep in touch and let us know if you do. And if you do go, we'd love to, you know, hear a call back from you and let you, you know, hear what it was like for you and hear all the juicy, you know, details of what it was like to go and who you ran into and who surprised you most and all those fun details your first finale.
I'll be like a correspondent for Dragon Slayer Radio.
Exactly. We'd love that.
Well, next, when it's back in L.A., I'll be the one to do that for you guys because I usually zip up there. In fact, I'm going up to Amazing Race viewing party this Sunday. Whenever anything's nearby, I kind of go hang out. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's fun. And, of course, you know, it's because I'm promoting Reality Rally. I go talk to people and tell them what we do.
You both know that anytime you have anything that you want to promote, you guys both know that you can always come to the Rad Reality Show or Dragon Slayer Radio,
and
we will always welcome you and promote anything that you have to promote. So you're always
promoting. Jillian, I did hear one of you when you got interviewed on Superpass that you've been contacted by a number of cities, almost franchising the Reality Rally. How's that progressed?
Actually, when I started the whole thing 2 years ago, I decided this could be a really... I just knew it. People said, my God, this is an ambitious undertaking you're taking. Do you think it'll really work? And there was no doubt in my mind that it wasn't going to. So I trademarked Reality Rally. And so it's a trademark fundraising arm, essentially. And we've had 4 inquiries to take it to other communities using the same pattern. And we're going to explore the one that's just outside of Chicago soon. So, yes, we are looking at that. And,
the Midwest needs one so bad.
I know.
There you
I know.
Go, Gary.
So, as soon as I've got myself sort of tied up from the mess that's all over my floor of all the papers, and I'm moving into the thank you emails this week. And so there's a tremendous amount of tie-up because I can never thank people enough. So we just do a tremendous amount of, well, I do, sending out thank yous and thank you emails and highlighting our sponsors and stuff. And then we're going to talk to the group outside of Chicago and start evaluating. Yeah, that's what we want to do is take it.
What little community is it in? Do you know?
No, I don't know, actually. It's a connection that we've had for the last year and a half. They've been watching us, and we're very interested to talk to us after this one. A smallish community, apparently a community that's similar to ours, which is what we need. It to be as successful as ours is, it needs to be a community that's a community. And the thing is to enhance the community and to highlight what they offer. We highlight our theater, our children's museum, our history, our gunfighters, our high schools, our sponsors, our wineries. We highlight what Temecula is. And that's what the goal is for another community. Whatever their community is what we want to highlight, and then do it for a good charity. So we're just going to start talking with them when I get back. I'm going to be in Boston for 3 weeks. So when I get back at the end of May, then we'll start talking to them. So yeah, so keep that in mind if anybody's looking for a fundraiser.
I know you're going and seeing your grandkids, but you deserve a 3-week vacation.
Well, it'll be sort of. I'll be on the computer every night when the kids are in bed. It'll be a different scene, and I love being with the kids, and it's great. And in fact, I'm going dory rowing with Jimmy T in Gloucester, and I'm actually going to go and visit with Richard Hatch next week, so I'll be catching up on some of the Survivor alumni while I'm gone, that are local. So, yeah, I've got to contact Michelle because she's Rhode Island, and I'll be down there a few times. So, yeah, I'm going to give Michelle a call and arrange something with her. Do you know what town she's in? I can't remember. Michelle Costa.
It's a suburb of Providence.
Go ahead, Paul.
It's a town near Providence. Everything's nearby in Rhode Island, but
right.
I can't remember the exact name, but it's just outside of Providence, I believe.
Oh, good. Yeah, I must contact her because there are a few in Boston, too. We had Jim Vaglica from Expedition Impossible here. And I just had, I was so tied up with just all kinds of parts of the weekend that I really didn't have time to just sit and chat. And David Olson's in Boston, so I'm going to sit and run some ideas. He's got some ideas he wants to run by me.
Jillian, I just looked it up. It's called Cumberland. Cumberland.
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I know exactly where that is. I used to live there, I lived in a town called North Smithfield. It was just next to Cumberland. So, yeah, thank you for looking that up. I'm going to drop her an email.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. So thank you, guys. We go back a long way. I still remember standing
sure do.
I remember standing in the kitchen in Boston and talking to you guys at whatever must have been midnight or something. So I really appreciate it. And, you know, obviously Ron was there at that time, too. So I really appreciate everything you've done for us. You've been a big part of our promotion. And I really value that.
We're happy to do it, Jillian. You do such a wonderful job and for such a great cause. We're very, very happy to do it.
Well, thank you, guys. Maybe one of these years you'll come out and be part of it as well. We had Judy from RKR, who's the president of the marketing company that we have. They're just like part of us. They're just awesome. I keep forgetting that we're not their only clients. And she and her crew ran just a really good press junket, basically. Got everybody in front of everybody. Reality Nation was out, and there were about five other press agencies. There was All Digital Radio from, actually also just outside of Chicago, came out. And so we just got everybody in front of the interviewers who wanted to talk to whoever. And they ran a really good weekend press junket, basically. And it worked beautifully. So, love to see you guys.
I would love to come out there. And I'm sure that I will make it one of these. Hopefully next year I will be able to make it. I would love to make it out there. That's
cool.
On my to-do list.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's April 12th, 13th, and 14th. And go on to realityrally.com for anybody, you know, that wants to know, steer them in this direction so that they can see what the event was like. The videos really give a good flavor of what the event was about. And, of course, the main thing is why we do it. And it's not just the fundraising. It's the awareness of the facility that we provide some funds for, what they do for people, and in whose honor the whole thing is done. And early detection. If nothing else, it makes people think, gosh, I better do a breast check, you know, and know
right.
what to do about it when they find a lump. So thank you, guys.
I think that's a huge point that you make. It is fundraising, but to get people to be more aware of it and be more aware of their responsibilities to themselves, and maybe it saves their lives even though they didn't contribute in their fundraising. Yeah, I think that's a great point you made there.
Yeah, in fact, people from the next day on, I meet people all the time, and they say to me, what did you make? And you know what my answer is? We made an impression. I don't know what we made financially yet. We're still tying up all the details, and we'll meet as soon as I get back from Boston. But for me, we made an impression. We've made an impression in so many ways. So that's my answer, is we made an impression.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, it's a we. It's not just me. It's a we. Yeah, whole lot of us. And you guys are part of that. You guys are a big part of that for all the publicity you've provided and the opportunities that we've had to, you know, get on and chat to you and your listeners. So you're part of that big we. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well,
that's so sweet of you.
And I wanna especially at this point say thank you to Ron, who started this whole thing. It's all because of him that we're in this position, Cherry and I. So I don't want to go without thanks, Ron.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll always remember him. So, there you go. He also made an impression. That's what life's all about, is leaving life having made an impression, even if it's only on one person. That's what it's all about.
I so wish Ron would have loved you, John. He would have had such a great time having you on the show. So,
He would have absolutely been thrilled to talk to you, Cochran. I mean, I can hear him now. He would have just been beside himself with joy talking to you.
Ron Radkowitz, who started the Rad Reality Show over 3 years ago, and unfortunately he passed away coming up on a year ago now, and Cherry and I just felt, as friends of his and from other people encouraging us, that we weren't going to let his baby die. And you would have really enjoyed Ron, I'm sure, John.
That's awesome. I mean, coaches mentioned him to me. It's really fantastic that you're, you know, carrying on his memory by
by doing things like this. It's really awesome.
He was a great guy. He had a memory that didn't quit when it came to reality shows. He could remember everything. We had people coming on the show, and he would bring up things that they did or said on the show that would almost, you know, remind them of things that they had forgotten. And they were amazed at the things that he could remember, you know, from seasons and seasons ago. And he would bring up the most, you know, obscure things, and he'd say, remember when you did this, or remember when you said that? And people would just be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you remember that, you know? And but he just had this memory. It was almost like a photographic memory for reality TV. And he could talk to people in such a way that it was almost like he was there with them, you know, as they were doing their season. And I wish I had that. I don't. But he possessed this just wonderful personality and this memory that didn't quit. And everybody loved him. And, you know, he started with the Rad Reality Show and built it up very quickly. And thankfully we have many, many shows with clips that we can use to keep his memory alive, and that's what we're doing, and we're trying to carry it on and keep it going and build it up and just, you know, do what we can with it and keep his memory alive and his legacy alive. And it's something that it's been a joy to do, and I hope he's proud. I really do.
Yeah,
I know
I
he would have loved
Jillian.
To talk to you.
Jillian, did I hear that you're going to be at the Amazing Race finale? Is that what you said?
Well, it's the finale, the last two episodes of it on Sunday night. I'm going up to be with Rachel and Brendan and whoever else comes to it. They don't have a finale like Survivor does, which is
very
strange
because
it's such a hugely popular event. I just don't know why they don't do something like Survivor does. So people get together in their own kind of pockets of people, and they're having a gathering. So I'll be up there to enjoy watching the last two episodes with them, because it's a double episode on Sunday, the finale of it.
That's true. Well,
yeah.
you have a great time. And John, are you a fan of other reality shows?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, only to the obsessive extent with Survivor, but I really like Shark Tank. I've kind of jumped on the Mark Burnett bandwagon.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes, I love Shark Tank. I actually get a kick out of Celebrity Apprentice for, like, you know, a variety of weird reasons. Not because it's, like, you know, the greatest strategy show in the world, because there's such huge personalities. Those are my big two at the moment, in addition to Survivor. I never really got that big into Amazing Race. I know, like, it always wins the best reality show at the Emmys. I just feel like too much of it depends on, like, you know, you get a good cabbie or something, or if like, your plane gets delayed. And I find it frustrating to watch. Like, people come up to me and say, man, you know, I would be so great on The Amazing Race. It's like, my friend and I would be so great on The Amazing Race. Nobody ever says they really want to be on Survivor. So The Amazing Race. And I actually wouldn't want to be on The Amazing Race. I don't think I'd be horrible at it, because I don't know directions, and I know I'd freak out. It's like, you know, if I get a bad cab driver, it's completely out of your control. I feel like there's certainly a huge element of luck to Survivor, but I feel like it's a little bit more within your own control. And granted, you do get much better accommodations on Amazing Race, and you're eating and you're sleeping, but no, so I've never really watched it that much.
Well, you also have to rely on your partner to be part of your adventure. Actually, when I was trying for Survivor in year four, I went for an in-person interview when I was visiting in Boston. And, of course, it was like the three-minute thing, okay, next, thank you, goodbye. And I was like, damn, again, you know. But they called back that night and they said, you know, it won't work for the Survivor. Because I kept saying, they haven't picked me yet. Because everybody said, give it up, they've seen you. And I said, yeah, but they haven't picked me yet. That's what it's all about. It hasn't been the right season. So they called back and they said, this isn't going to work for the season. We're, you know, not looking for somebody like you, but how about The Amazing Race? We'd definitely be interested in interviewing you with somebody. So can you come back and interview and bring somebody with you for an Amazing Race interview? And boy, I thought, oh my gosh, I felt driven to Survivor. I just knew that I couldn't do something else. And I said, I'm waiting for that Mothership Survivor. I know that I'm getting Survivor. I absolutely know that. So I didn't, and I actually was offered, I was called by four other casting agencies looking for people for four pilots. And the exciting thing about those calls was that they said they'd got my information from the Survivor database. And I thought, yes, I'm not
really
dead in the Survivor file. And they sounded like fun. I would have loved to have done them, but I kept thinking, I just can't be on something else if I know that I'm getting Survivor. And I just believed it and it happened. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
I never heard somebody who tried out for Survivor being encouraged to try out for Amazing Race. I always feel like it's usually the other way around. Like, I know a lot of people, like Albert on the season I was on, he and his buddy tried out for Amazing Race, and I guess they weren't that crazy about the buddies. So, Albert, how about you try for Survivor? It's pretty crazy when it's the other way around. I mean, you ended up back on Survivor, of course, but...
Right, yeah, actually, Natalie and her fiancé, Natalie White, she and her fiancé were alternates for the Amazing Race, and then it didn't work out. They just didn't go for that one, but they asked Natalie for Survivor. Yeah, so when they asked me about the Amazing Race, I said, I'll call you back in the morning. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just have to wait for that Mothership Survivor. Obviously, sometimes I think, God, I should have. Maybe I would have lasted longer than 6 days on the Amazing Race. Because I wouldn't have, would it. But then again, it goes back to the reason that I said earlier. I absolutely feel that this was a destined path for me. Because I know that I have been able to affect so many more people through everything we do. Just in the fact that I've got people that have volunteered, that have said, thank you so much for coming into my life. Not me, but Reality Rally. Because I was at a loose end. I'd just recently gone through a divorce. I was desperate. I was despondent. And I've got a whole new lease on life. I mean, just those sort of things that have come out of Reality Rally that have been just amazing. So, it was destined. I had to be booted in 6 days. That's all there is to it.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us tonight. I really have enjoyed it. Hope that I can make it out to a Reality Rally next year. That's one of, as I said, one of the things that's on my to-do list, and it's just one of the best events that there is in the nation, and if I don't make it to any other events, I do hope I can make it to that one.
I'd love to shake your hand and give you a big hug for
everything
you've done. So
I would love that so much.
Love it. So, yeah. Cool. All right, and thank you so much, and thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. And fun talking to you, Sophie. It's great.
Great talking to you again soon. I hope to see you again soon.
Yeah, awesome. Reality Rally next year. Keep it in mind and watch for my emails.
Absolutely.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you, Jillian.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
okay, hon. You
thanks.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul. All righty. Bye.
Bye.
And thank you again.
Thank you, Jacqueline,
nice
so much. We've enjoyed so much talking to you. It's been a great night, and we always enjoy talking to you. And let us know if you do go to the finale up there. We'd love to hear back from you, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. You take care, hon.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
But
wow, what a great night. We never know who might be calling in on Dragon Slayer Radio.
I like surprises, though.
I do, too. And we might be coming up on one.
I was messaging you, but anyway. Okay, for those still listening, we did just moments ago extend the show, but it could cut out on you if you don't refresh now, so you might need to do that to hear the end of the show.
Sometimes when we extend the show this late, it does cut out sometimes you have to refresh. So in just a few moments, we may need you to refresh. We do have one call still left on the switchboard, and I just don't know that we're going to have time to bring up another caller. We've had a long day today. I know, Paul, you have, and I have as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard how early you got up today, and I thought, no way that you would get up that early.
Yes, it's been a very, very long day for me.
Did you get an opportunity to watch the talk today with Bob and Mark?
I did. They were so good. I just wish it was longer. Their segments are so short. But they did
such a great
segment.
I really loved the audience reaction, you know, of course, being fans of The Amazing Race and of that team, I can understand, but when you hear an audience react like that, you know that it's not just us reality fanatics. You know?
Right. And they gave them the big $10,000 check. You know, that was amazing for them to do. Just because they were so loved by everyone watching The Amazing Race. So I thought that was a nice thing for the talk to do. They showed pictures of all their kids. And one of the ones that I had placed on my Facebook page when I was asking for prayers for Bopper's daughter is one of the ones they showed on the talk today.
Oh, really?
Yes, the one of his daughter laying in the bed, in the hospital bed.
That's the one
I put on my Facebook page when I was asking for prayers for his daughter.
I sure hope he's able to get another job. That's just hard to hear.
What is this, Lola? Jeff and Jordan having a new show?
I saw a tweet about that, and I have not had the time to find out any details about it. But, Jeff tweeted something hinting towards filming a show, and I have no idea what he's talking about. I have no clue. It's hopefully something that we'll learn more about in the next few days.
Lola, tell us more. CBS, no less.
Well, see, Joe learned something, and I have yet to, I just noticed earlier before the show started that Joe posted a link on my Facebook page about Mobwise Chicago, and I haven't watched that yet. Did you get that same link, Sherry?
I really couldn't tell you.
Okay, you haven't watched it, I guess is the point either. So, I mean, there's all sorts of, so many shows. I'm stealing your line.
That's the truth, though.
Oh, my goodness. Look at the link. Look at that link.
Oh, wow.
Holy moly. Hopefully that's a workable link. Okay. I saw the little I in his tweet. It said CBS and all in capitals with the little letter I. And I thought maybe that was a typo. I didn't know that they had an internet TV. I hope nobody listening has not watched American Idol tonight, but I did see the elimination. You know, they say it every year, but I have to agree. The final five are all good. And I have a hard time really picking a favorite. I mean, any one of them leaving is a disappointment right now because I've enjoyed them. Mr. Mack in the chat said that one of the local sports talk show hosts is a big Duck Dynasty fan. Oh, Duck Dynasty is another one. I keep jumping. What were we talking about? Oh, American Idol. I'm kind of a... Okay, well, if you don't want to know, mute your sound right now, because I'm going to talk a little bit about it. I wasn't a huge fan of Skylar early on, but she kept growing and growing and growing and growing on me. The unfortunate thing is, and they're all good singers, I think. I think the weakest one is probably Holly, but she's so darn cute that I kind of like seeing her stay. But one of the things is Skylar is such a showman. I don't know if there's a, you know, female version of that, but
she was my pick. I really liked her.
She really knows how to work it. And a lot of these other are still good singers, but they're not, they don't really work it, you know, on stage like she did.
And I had finally just decided, I think that's why she got voted off, because I had finally just decided that she was my pick, and she got voted off.
Man.
That's how it goes. As soon as I say, okay, that's who I want to win, they get voted off. So I probably need to write her an apology letter and say, I jinxed you, girl.
the cherry jinx.
Yep.
But
you know,
no,
I think they've already decided who they want. This morning on the news, they said that Jennifer Lopez said that, what's the guy's name? Starts with a J.
For
American
for a
Idol?
Judge?
No, but singing on.
Joshua.
Joshua. That he's the best singer they've had on there in 15 years. And they're all just, it's like they've already decided who's going to win. And I just don't like it when they do that. It's like they put all their eggs in one basket, and it's like they try to sway the viewers.
I know.
And I don't like that they do that.
I don't like the thought of that, and I avoid thinking that's the case. I don't know. I'll be happy with anybody that's left, really. I don't think Holly has improved to the point where she could win the whole thing, but the others, I'm okay with any of others. I think Jessica is amazing. She is actually from, although she's a military child, lives in the same town that Big Brother Kevin Campbell lives in, Chula Vista, and that's where Jessica is from, Chula Vista, which is outside of San Diego. So we've had one person holding an awful long time, and now as we can't stop talking reality TV. I'm sorry. We were going to wrap it up, and then Sherry and I get to talking.
Let's go ahead and bring him up and at least say that we're sorry and good night. And we have two people now waiting. Dog, I am so sorry that we weren't able to bring you up.
That's all.
Coach
I've
had too many people on the line, and when he has that many people on the line, we can't bring up more callers. It is just too many people. We start talking over each other.
Yeah. I was going to try to ask Cochran and Jillian if they could make it to Susanville on June 8th and 10th to the next symphony.
Yeah.
But and I'm sure that that coach has already asked him. But I'll let you guys get on your way. I think with the balance that's left right now, I know somebody who talked with Tarzan. No, I talked with Tarzan before the show even started, and he said, this guy is going to be on that show, and don't sell him short. So I think he's a very definite dark horse. Now, if he can orchestrate, and I didn't catch the fact that he shaved, but if he can orchestrate an alliance, there's six left, and if he can pull Sabrina, Christina, and Alicia in, that does not bode well for Kim and Chelsea, because they have a slight fracture right there. Kim doesn't see the fracture because she's just trying to protect herself, but Chelsea has to see a slight fracture in there. And so I think this coming Wednesday is going to be real interesting. If Kim makes it through
I think it will be very telling in next week's episode. I do think that it is a possibility, and a lot of people are saying that they could drag Tarzan to the final three because they don't think he would get many votes. And I know you're saying don't underestimate him, and you've said that on previous shows, but I don't see that he has built up a voting base, and even if he gets in that final three, I think it is nearly impossible for him to win.
Yeah, and that completely hinges upon how bitter are the last jurors to go to Ponderosa. That's what I would say. But aside from that, I'll let you guys go, and it's been just a good time. Jillian has been doing such a wonderful job with her, if you have to call it fame and fortune. She's at the opposite end of this state from me, at that Temecula rally, and I just haven't been able to go down there. I'd like to, but.
Year you can get down there to the reality rally.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, thanks for your time again.
Thank you so much.
I was a little late in calling in.
We love you.
Yeah, I was a little late in calling in because I had to go out of state today, and I got back, and in the last car I was driving in, I hadn't set the clock up for daylight saving time, so I thought I had a lot of time to call in.
Oh, my.
I called in about 35 minutes late.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Doug. We love you, hon.
You
take care.
See you next week.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
bye-bye. And we have Mr. Chi-Town Joe.
How you doing, everybody?
I'm great.
Hey,
how are you, Joe?
Hey, Paul. The reason I sent that to you, Paul, was for the music, the 30 seconds of the new theme song to Chicago Mob Boys.
What kind of theme song
is it?
Yeah. It's a different one, and it starts off with wind. it's a different Mob Boys song, a different song altogether.
Do you like it? Do you know who performs it?
No, I didn't care for it because it's only 30 seconds, so we'll have to see. But I was on the phone for about an hour with Dina this morning, you know, and we're just getting ready for the Mob Boys, and she's all upset because I think Friday, or is it Saturday? It's Saturday. She's going to be listening to my show because she has a pool party, but Drita is only 20 miles away doing a personal appearance. So she doesn't know what to do.
What's the theme? Remind people, what's the theme of your radio show this Saturday at 4:30 p.m.
And actually,
Eastern?
Yeah, it's the Hall of Fame show is on.
Rock and Roll Hall of
Yes,
Fame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They moved it to Cincinnati. or Cleveland, I'm sorry, and it's Cleveland. In an actual hall, you know, arena. And but I've got it's all.
I wish I.
Music, and they changed the page around to Paul and Cherry, and it's
okay.
Really weird. So you have to get in there a little early to sign
all
in
right.
If you want to. And I have you guys up. I'm playing you guys talking about me about 5 minutes in. And I have a song for you, Paul, by Groucho. But,
I wish I had HBO.
TV. You got something that I don't got. I send you that Big Brother Africa stuff starts Sunday. I can't get it because I have an Apple computer.
That was going to be one of my questions for you is how do you get the feeds and that type of thing.
Well, I think I just sent you yesterday the connection on Facebook, and you got, if you click onto it, it'll tell you how to hunt it down. And it's
okay.
They have feeds. They have a 2-hour show that's
okay.
And it's one of those where on Friday the audience even gets to vote. So. You know, it should be good. It's all in English, too, so, but...
That's a key.
Yeah, so, but that starts, and it's 91 days, if you want to know that. But if anybody's going to listen to my show, get there early, and it's at 4:30 Eastern, so, and, it's all goofy.
And 3:30, whose time?
Cherry Garcia's time. That's what I call it, Cherry Garcia time.
That's Central Time for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Joe, I have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
How excited were you to hear that Jillian...
I'm going nuts.
I know. I didn't even have to finish that question.
So everybody stays at my house.
I get first dibs.
You and Rich, come on up.
Hey,
I'm right
Jerry,
on the lake.
I knew that there were cities vying for it, and you stole my question right out of my mind. Okay, what is the one city that you're working on? And I was so glad to hear that.
Well, I hope it's either west or it's north. You know, she might be talking about where Matt lives, because they're trying. That's a smaller city, and they're trying. And you know the city, Cherry Elgin. They've been trying to bring it back. So
Elgin would be a great city. You know, I stayed in the Holiday Inn in Elgin for nearly 6 months when I was working.
Yeah, you were here, yeah. And they have a gambling
they had
up
Holiday
here,
Inn
too.
Back then?
When I was working doing the telecommunications equipment on the road, I had to travel a third of the country, and I had a lot of business in the Chicagoland area, and I was able to basically do my own schedule, and I had so much business up there that I could stay up there and travel home on the weekends, and I could stay right there at that Holiday Inn in Elgin and travel to all of the Chicagoland area. I mean, cover that whole area, come home on the weekends, go back to that hotel, and I did that for nearly 6 months. And
it's easy to get to from Chicago, right, Jerry?
Right, it really is.
You can get on one of the nice metro trains downtown or along the line, and especially on the weekend, it's only $5 for round trip.
We don't know for a fact that that's the town that she's going to, but if that is,
that would probably be a nice town. Yeah,
Jerry?
They did a big thing on a horror up there for Halloween last year, and they
the only other
down
place
the
that I stayed was there at the one that's right next to the airport on Mannheim.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
also next to
a great big. Yes.
When you were on the road, was this one of your favorite songs?
On the road again.
No.
Well, the way Cherry seems like she's going to be traveling this year, when she's gone, you can always introduce her with that music.
I doubt that I'll be traveling that much at all this year. I don't know.
Well, you're going to Florida, right?
We're talking about it. I'm not sure yet. We may.
I know a lot of people really seem to want to go to Portsmouth.
Yeah, so I'm definitely going to try to go to Portsmouth.
Oh, now it's a try. Oh, God, Cherry, we miss you up there. It's but I got this thing on the Jordan and Jeff thing. If you want to hear what's on, they're doing something for CBS Interactive.
Ah,
that's what it's called, and they must have dropped a lot of money on them because Jordan didn't want to do it. And I think they're going down Route 66 as they move. You know, through going back to L.A.
I wish I had that song to cue up.
Well, they'll be coming right through here then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. All my power was out. That's why I didn't come on time. So. And listen,
I had a power outage yesterday.
Do you have any idea the theme of the show, or is it still unknown?
It's no. They're not giving it out yet. They're filming it now.
Okay.
It's being filmed as we speak. It's a web series.
Okay.
So that's what they're saying right now. It's a web series. They're having the blast, the time of the live and everything. And, you know, they had to drop a lot of money to get Jordan to do that. So. But
put in the chat room, we now have Nonstop Chicago. Make room, Joe. I didn't know Jordan was born in St. Louis.
Yes.
I'll be darned, you learn something new
every
day.
Hey, didn't we beat you guys yesterday? The Cubs beat the Cards.
I don't watch
Cherry
baseball.
Cherry doesn't care.
Yeah, no.
Cherry is freaking out right now that her Blues are down 0-2.
Yeah.
And I can't find, they're not showing me the game on TV right now, and I'm mad. I can't find the game on TV.
Is it on tonight?
Yes, as we speak.
But, Cherry,
it's
I know for empty. Sure if you want to start
Cherry,
watching
Cherry,
it,
Cherry.
Africa, you can get it
hold
for
on.
Sure.
Hold on, Cherry. It's on NBC Sports Channel. Do you have NBC Sports Channel?
Yeah, it used to be Versus, Cherry.
Well, my husband has it set up to record in the bedroom, I think, but I don't know where it's at for out here. So, anyway.
All right.
Adam seems to be
Stephen says
sleeping
there's a picture
at with
Jeff
the Devils.
In front of a Route 66 sign.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Adam's been going to all the Devils games. I got a hold of the clip on that was on After Dark with him, where the Big Brother voice says, "That's what she said," and I sent it to him, and he cracked up. So I still have it. I'll be probably playing that just at work. He says, "That's what she said." So. But anyways, I don't want to take up your time. I just, if you didn't know about that. Oh, and one of my favorite shows, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, is coming back on the 28th of June.
That's interesting.
If you watch it. I don't know if you watch it. Hayden's back on Facebook. He's been out and about lately. So if you go to Hayden's Facebook page, you'll see him. He's been acting crazy as usual. So he's with his
Joe has all the info. He's up on all of it.
I'm trying. I'm trying to keep you, up and about, I downloaded some of your pictures today, Jerry, and, you know, they were like 330
KB.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's kilobytes. It's the size.
Yeah. It's a lot of space. I was downloading some really nice pictures so I can use them for a cover photo. Because I know now you have timeline.
Wow.
You got him on timeline.
I took some great pictures while I was out there.
You certainly did. The pictures of you and Lane, I think that's the most you took of, with you and Lane. but some of them are funny, but I'll be putting them up because it's time. We only have, 70 days now until Big Brother?
Uh-oh.
Like
I don't really like pictures of me.
Well, you put them
I'll
up.
I'll be going, Joe, take that down.
No, I wouldn't put up anything that made you look bad. You know that, so.
Wait a minute. That's a little hypocritical, Joe. I saw nothing wrong with the picture of you in front of the mic.
Oh, I thought that was terrible. Oh, my God. I fixed that so he can't do that anymore. I didn't know you could do that.
All right. We have trouble.
You gotta go. I know.
We have trouble stopping talking, but now we're really pushing up against
the
wall.
Yeah, we are.
I just want to say hi to everybody, and I'll see y'all Saturday if you come. It's
okay.
At 4:30.
Seacoast International Radio.
Yes. Weekly. You go to my page and or Chi-Town Live.
Chi-Town Live on Facebook.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much, Joe.
Have a good weekend.
So.
And I saw one thing. I saw 6 minutes of the last episode of Amazing Race.
Okay, we got to run, baby. We're going to run out of time.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Mr. Mac.
Oh, we're terrible, aren't we, Cherry?
I'm telling you, it's like a race to get off the air before we run out of time.
Do it. Go for it,
okay.
Girl.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. Please make sure you're here with us on, on Sunday night for Louie's recap. This is going to be the finale of The Amazing Race, so make sure you're here with us on Sunday night for the recap of The Amazing Race and on Manic Mondays with Michelle Costa at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Louie's show is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Make sure
you're here with us.
Oh, we are going to start the show 30 minutes or possibly even an hour late on Sunday because of the show running long. So watch the promos. It's probably going to be 30 minutes late on Sunday.
10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central.
Yes. I've got to confirm that with Louie, but I think it will be 10:30 and 9:30 Central.
That should be enough.
We haven't confirmed that, but watch for the promos. Should be 10:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central for the recap and finale of The Amazing Race. That's going to be a big show. Louie's going to have a lot of surprises, a lot of people. Make sure you're there. Here is Ron to close our show. Thank you all for being with us. We love you guys.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. We love you guys. Take care. We hope to see you for the finale of The Amazing Race. Be kind to each other. Ron, thank you so much. We miss you. Good night, everyone.
Yes. Good night.